So good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. It is so good to be here with y'all. So Pastor Roy and Pastor Tung decided to take vacations at the same time, so they're not here this morning. So we are left holding down the fort, but we have the awesome privilege of being able to meet together anyway. So why don't you guys, get up again. I should have thought this through a little more. Get up again and just greet those around you really quick. All right, so this week and next, we have the awesome opportunity of having Paul Rose and his family here with us, and he has been here plenty of times in the past, and it's so good to have him here. I want to get this right. He is the Senior Director of Specialized Ministries at the Seattle Union Gospel Mission, and so it's such a privilege and honor to have him and his family here with us this morning. So why don't we give him a big round of applause.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. I'm going to raise this up. I'm not that tall, but I'm not that short either, right? Well, praise God. How many of you have wonderful plans for tomorrow, Memorial Day weekend? Memorial Day? Anybody? Nobody has plans for tomorrow? Not even one person bravely rose their hand. Nothing's going on tomorrow in your life. No barbecuing, no remembering somebody. No honoring a veteran or anything of that nature? Nothing? Okay, let's move on. I'm glad to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I think it's just been a lot of fun for me and my family to be, around your church body, around this congregation. It's been a wonderful thing to be able to see from my position at the mission how involved you have been with the kids in the after-school program. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to come and bring one of the leaders of the mission, my boss, my supervisor, and he had been here a couple of times, but when we came here that particular day, we saw a number of volunteers actively engaging the kids, and LaShawn was very proud to be able to share with him all the cool things that this congregation does for the kids. And it was very interesting, and I want you to understand why I'm saying this, because I think it's very, very appropriate to who you are and your identity as a congregation. So LaShawn was talking about all the things that this church does for the kids in this community, and he said, well, that's really cool. I'm sure a lot of the kids go to the church. Like a lot of the parents send their kids to the after-school program. That's why there's a lot of investment. He was not being sarcastic or anything of that nature. It was just kind of a natural thought. Like, yeah, it's cool that they invest all this, and it's cool that they have all this time and all the robotics and all that kind of stuff that's going on right now. And LaShawn said, well, actually, there's only, like, I think three kids whose parents come to the church at all. And my supervisor, Gary, was astonished. Now, I had known that, but he was astonished, saying, you mean they invest all of that for kids that aren't part of the church, like part of the community? And he was overwhelmed, because that's the type of ministry that we want to be in partnership with. And that's the kind of love that a congregation should show to the community around them. Amen? So thank you so much for investing not only in what would happen on Sunday, but also what happens throughout the week in the community around this building. Amen? Give yourselves a good hand. That's pretty awesome stuff. As I was, preparing for this message, I looked at the scripture verse. You know, Pastor Roy said, hey, I want you to, to preach out of this message or this scripture verse, and we're talking about messy church, so I pulled up the scripture verse, and I realized, oh, this is like a passage of scripture that's preached on all the time. The congregation's going to kind of look at that, and then they're going to tune me out and say, yeah, body, foot, head, that kind of stuff. We know all of this stuff. We don't really know if you can put a new spin on it. So I was thinking, how am I going to put a new spin on this? How am I going to engage the congregation? How am I going to get them to think like a little bit differently about church and how it can be messy and how unique we are as individuals? And so I think we have the PowerPoint. Can you bring that up? And then we'll go into this message. But if you wouldn't mind, can I just pray that God would reveal to us through His Spirit a fresh new look at the way this scripture may be applied in this congregation, in our body? Would that be appropriate? All right, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm able to fellowship with this wonderful congregation and see firsthand how you have blessed them with the attitude of serving their community and broadening their vision and their ideas. And I pray, Lord God, that as we fellowship together today, that we would be mindful of what you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that each and every one of us will leave different and not the same, that we would have a better understanding of what your scripture would speak to us and how we could live that out as a example of you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us. And if you do nothing for us for the rest of our lives, all that you have done is more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 12. And Pastor Roy took you through some of this last week, right? You remember? How many of you were here last week and went through the first part of chapter 12? And it was good, right? So yeah, it was good. This is recorded. So Roy's on vacation, and you want him, when he listens to the podcast, to make sure I didn't preach any heresy. That he, when I say, didn't Pastor Roy, isn't he doing a wonderful job? You'll say, yeah, okay, yeah, because you want them to feel encouraged, right? Yeah, you should encourage your pastor all the time as well. It's a hard job. It's not an easy job to pastor a church. So we're looking at this, and it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. How many of you understand that the church as a whole is not this congregation, this gathering of people? It's more than who we are here today. The church is an accumulation of all believers gathering all over the world and has many different ways of expressing worship. In fact, I believe we serve, you know, not just God of our minds, you know, how we think of Him, but we serve the Creator of the universe, and He's the Creator, right? So where should be the most creative place on earth, places on earth? If we worship the Creator, then church should be the most creative place. Would anybody, I mean, doesn't that kind of make sense? So when I preach and teach, I kind of like, you know, it's not just liturgical. I'm not a manuscript preacher. I'll ask questions, and some of them are, you know, not really meant to be answered, but kind of nod your head if you're thinking, oh, I kind of get what you're saying, you know? Kind of get what you're saying. I kind of understand. So interact with me a little bit. It's okay. All right? But how many of you went into there's not very many of them around here, but like a Family Christian bookstore or Mardell's or some sort of a Christian store like that? Has anybody ever went into a store like that? It's okay to raise your hand. It's okay to raise your hand. How many can just raise your hand just because I asked you to raise your hand? I just want to make sure that everybody can do that. Okay. All right, we're good. We're good to go. If you go into a Family Christian bookstore, there's always this section of the store that has T-shirts. Have you ever seen them? And if you like these T-shirts, I'm not bashing Christian T-shirts. I'm just making a point. And a lot of times, these Christian T-shirts take a logo or a brand from some sort of TV show or Coca-Cola or Sprite or some other widely known brand, and they spin it with something about Jesus or the church, and it's now Christian. And it's not the most creative T-shirt. It's really made to get somebody's attention to say, oh, you like Coca-Cola. Oh, it's Jesus Christ, the real thing. Oh, and then that's like a witnessing tool, you know. Then you say, well, do you want to try the real thing? You know, that kind of a thing. And he's refreshing, and he's known all over the globe, and da-da-da-da-da-da. It's not so creative, because we're taking something that's been created by an organization or a company and putting a Christian spin on it. Don't you think it would be pretty awesome if the church body, you and I, as worshipers of the creator of the universe, if we started asking him for creativity and we had so much awesome creativity in how we expressed our worship to Christ, to God, that all of a sudden the world was kind of coming to our church to make their own t-shirts? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? I think that would be interesting. That, to me, that makes sense. If we're praying to God for wisdom and understanding, that he would give us that type of creativity, I think it would be appropriate for him to. I think that giving him the opportunity to work through us would be amazing. And so there's a ton of expression, ways to express church. I truly feel that we haven't even kind of began to scratch the surface of how God would have us to operate church, so to speak. How we would worship or express our worship or provide service to the community, or how we would gather together and celebrate, how we would do these things. It seems like we have this recipe or this manual. You know, we come in at a certain time on a Sunday morning, and we have a couple of announcements maybe, or a really cool video and worship, announcements, message, prayer, and then we go home or maybe have a potluck. And it's like this outline that many times if we feel we veer from, maybe it's not scriptural. I'm not really sure what we do. But we serve the Creator, and so when we start asking God to help us to be creative, and we start talking about the body of Christ larger than this congregation, things can get messy. And so in verse 15, it says, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Now, you know this. If your foot said, you know what, I look different than every other part of the body. I don't really fit in. I don't feel like a part of it. I don't understand this whole thing. You know, I feel like we should be running a lot because that would help me to be active and help me to be useful, but we sit a lot, and I just don't feel like a part. I mean, that's just bizarre. And a lot of times we as members of our congregation will say that as well. I don't feel like I'm a part of the body because, you know, I like to worship with my hands, and it doesn't seem like we do that at this church, or I like a certain type of music. I like my music to be a little bit, you know, faster or slower. I like high church, low church. I like liturgical church. I don't feel like I'm part of this body, so I'm just going to kind of move on to another body. Now, I think a lot of us, if we were to read the scripture for like the first time, as if we're reading it for the first time, we would realize that's really silly. Because we're thinking about ourselves, the foot. If he says, you know, I'm not part of this body, he's really thinking about who he is or what God has created that foot to be and how it's not being used and how he wants to be the head or the hand or he wants to be fit in. And it's really interesting because that's exactly how we think often. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And then I wanted to tie this, you know, down there on the bottom. That's part of the scripture verse that was preached last week. But the same Spirit distributes them. Everybody here in this congregation has been brought here by the same Spirit. Every congregation, if we're worshiping God and we're not, you know, kind of going off onto other things and being heretical or really trying to promote ourselves, we're all placed by the same Spirit. We're all part of the body of Christ. We are not one church. We are the church as a whole. And if we start thinking of church as a whole, not ours, then we see that diversity and differences and being unique is actually pretty awesome, and we can do amazing things. If church was everything you wanted it to be, then it probably wouldn't be for anybody else. If all of our preferences were outlined in a service or a congregation here, then it wouldn't fit anybody else. Nobody else would like to come because we're all kind of weird. Anybody recognize? I say amen right there. We're all kind of weird.
the same Spirit. But in fact, in verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? There would be no body. It'd be a foot or an ear. And then we would all be creeped out by that, because just seeing the foot by itself is kind of gross. Right? Man, let's say, yeah, Pastor Roy's awesome. You know, we want him back. Who's this guy? Okay, so if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You know, a lot of times we focus on the head. You know, the speaking in church, in the body of Christ, in a local congregation. You know, the church is often known for their pastor, the person who speaks, but it is greater known for the people that work it. As this congregation continues to understand the calling of God for this body in this location, you will be known more for what you do and how you transform the community than by the pastor who preaches on Sunday. And I believe that's what God would want us to see anyhow. Because it's not about how wonderful a pastor is or how dynamic the worship is or how powerful the preaching is. Because that's good for you and I. As already part of the body, that is good for you and I. But for the world, for the community around us, what is good is that each foot is operating in its way. Each ear, each eye, each nose, each hand, each digit, each part of the body is operating in the way that God has designed and created you to operate, so that the community may feel the full impact of what Christ wants to do in this community. I've seen a lot of churches, and sometimes their strategy is to get the worship really, really amazing. That way people will come to church. And I think that's cool to have great worship. But worship is not music. Music is a vehicle for worship, a way we worship. But we don't need music to worship. We don't need a drummer or a pianist or a guitarist or a great vocalist to worship. All we need is to come together or just to recognize who God is. God is God, and we worship him because of who he is, not because of what he's done. And if our way of worshiping is directly tied with how we feel about the music, then we're really not worshiping at all. And so the way to see church growth and community transformation is that each one of us who are uniquely designed by God to find our place within this local body, to operate the way that God has designed us, to embrace our uniqueness and embrace the uniqueness of somebody else, so that the community as a whole would see what it's like if Christ was actually living amongst us in form today. Wouldn't that be amazing? It would be truly amazing. Verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And this is kind of giggly to me, because like this is kind of funny. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. The sum of our business doesn't need to be out there. Some of what we do as a church body doesn't need to be out there. It kind of needs to be covered up, because it may not be the greatest thing for the community to see. How many of you know that maybe sometimes our board meetings or our annual business meetings, I'm not talking about this church, of course, because this church is amazing, it's the other churches, that if the community came to a board meeting and saw the division, that the community would say, what? If a community member that did not have an affiliation with the church came to our annual business meetings, not this church, another one, they'd be like, what? Why are they so angry at each other? Why can't they decide on what color's best? What? Who cares about what color the pews are, or if you even have pews? That's not what the body of Christ is about. And so I wonder, sometimes, you know, we need to make sure that we're presenting ourselves to the community in a way that's presentable. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. For my work, and I don't know what everybody does here for a living, but for my work, a lot of what I do is typing and talking. I get paid to talk, which is really fun because I like to talk. And so I get paid to talk, I get paid to think, I get paid to problem solve, and I get paid to type because I got to put documents together and write narratives and all that kind of stuff, and I enjoy that. But when my ankle is hurt, which has nothing to do with my job, it affects everything. It affects how I work. If I'm in pain, if I have a pain in my elbow, if I have a pain in my ear, if I have a pain by a toothache, whatever pain is involved with my body, my whole body suffers, my job suffers, the way that I operate suffers. I can't just ignore pain. It affects everything. And if there's a part of your body, and remember, the Word of God is using our physical bodies as a way to associate ourselves with the church body, to be able to understand that. If a part of this congregation is hurting, is suffering, if a member of this congregation is hurting or suffering, it affects the whole body. But oftentimes, we just kind of move on and not think about it. If the children's ministry, now, how many of you really, really love children? It's okay to raise your hand. Everybody should be raising their hand because we're all Christian, right? The Lord says love everyone. So, but how many of you really like working with children? Okay, now it's okay to raise your hand at this next question. How many of you prefer not to work with children? Okay. That's okay, but we're part of the body, right? So let's assume, which it's not this church, it's amazing. Some other church is struggling. Let's say a church is struggling in their children's department, and they've got a lot of young families and a lot of kids, but a lot of the congregation, the established body of believers that attend the church, don't like working with children very much. So getting volunteers is really hard to get. You know, convincing somebody to give up a Sunday service, which you only have 52 of them, and if you have an amazing pastor like Pastor Roy, you want to hear every single message. So giving up a Sunday service to go work with kids is not optimal to a lot of people. It's not something they prefer. But let's say the kids department is suffering because there's not enough people there. You know, the kids are getting into stuff. You know, they're marking on their clothes, and a new family that comes in, they send their kids very trusting to strangers down into a part of the building they can't see. Downstairs is very a trusting thing. And then the kids are there, and then when they get them back, they're all disheveled and hyper and sweaty. And then the parents thinking, the worship was good, the message was amazing, the people seem friendly, but my kids aren't getting anything out of it. Let's go find another body. So if one ministry is hurting, it affects every ministry. And if one ministry is hurting, it's not that we should ignore it, but that we should come together to support it, to help it. If my ankle is hurting, I don't say to my ankle, tough luck. You need surgery? Oh, well, nobody else needs surgery. Let's just keep going. My other foot's working fine. Why can't you be like that foot? My hand never gives me problem. Why do you always give me problem? You're the troublemaker. You need to get out of here. That doesn't make any sense. But as a body of believers, we sometimes do that. Well, you know, if you're better at recruiting youth workers, or, you know, if we started recruiting more musicians, our worship would be better. If we did this, if we did that. It's if we start casting blame to different parts of the body instead of working together. But if we see one area that's weak and we all chip together to do a rotation or to help or create healing or create health, then the overall church is healthy. You know, when I was pastoring, you find it sometimes hard to find musicians. And you know what would really irritate me sometimes is knowing that somebody was really good at music and yet didn't want to be on the music team because they didn't like the music that we played. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, is it about me and you, or is it about Jesus and the community? Not that you have that problem here at all. But if we care about our body, we care about our body. We care for our body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If one part of the body is doing well, then every part of the body is doing well, and we're all rejoicing. If one ministry of this church is flourishing, then it affects every other ministry within this church. If the young adults ministry is flourishing, that affects everything. Because young adults tend to have children later. And that helps everything. And then where they were once consumers, because maybe they don't make a lot of money early in their career, they later become producers. And that helps something too, right? In verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, each one of you. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guiding, so different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? And we would say no. Are all prophets? And the correct answer is no. Are all teachers? And we would say no. Do all work miracles? We'd say no. Do all have gifts of healing? Again, no. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And there's a lot of translations or ideas of what the greater gifts are, right? And there's all this stuff. And so he names apostles and teachers and preachers and all this kind of stuff. And you think, well, the first one on the list should be the most important, the greater gift. Well, let's talk about what the greater gift is. There's this graph on this next slide that was part of your message from last week, if I'm correct. And it talks about the list of gifts and goes through Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and the miscellaneous passages, and there's all these different gifts. And I want to ask you a question that may encourage you a little bit. If you have a gift, what is the greatest gift? Your gift. Have you ever seen somebody that's musically talented or gifted that never really works hard at practicing? And you're like, if I had that gift, I would be an amazing musician. If I could do that, I would be amazing at it. They're lazy. They don't practice. If I had that gift, you know what? If we focused on our gifts and made them strong, and turned talent into skill and worked hard about developing what God has given to us, then they're going to be great for the congregation. They're going to be great for the community. It's going to be phenomenal. But if we keep wondering about why I don't have this gift or why I don't have that gift, and we're not focusing on our own gifts, then we're all going to be weak as a congregation. Remember, because if one part suffers, we all suffer. But if we all engage in understanding that God has created us to be unique, and that my various talents and skills, abilities and preferences and likes and dislikes make up who I am, and that is the way that God made me for a reason, and if I invest in myself, I am then investing in the gift. And this may seem a little bit narcissistic, but it's not. If I invest in myself, then I'm investing in the gift of myself that God has given to a congregation. I think people are the greatest gift. Because people are the ones who work in the different spiritual gifts. And if we celebrate people and the different people that make up our body, then we're celebrating diversity and we're celebrating God, and that brings honor to Him, and people can be free in how God created them to be. Our uniqueness may sometimes trick us into feeling disconnected. Have you ever felt disconnected from the body? Like, I kind of don't fit in here. I don't understand the worship, or I don't understand the preaching, or I don't understand this mission, or I don't understand that mission. I think I'm going to kind of disconnect. If we truly understood what God's desire for the congregation is, then we would realize how foolish it is to disconnect. How harmful it is for churches to do that, people within churches to do that. Could you imagine if God moved you geographically? That's one decision, that's one thing. But if you lived within the same area, if everybody had a good mind and wanted to work together and wanted to grow each other and wanted to put aside preferences and angst and anger, if they all stayed in the same congregation, even when they felt disconnected, that they would realize that they have been divinely connected with the body, how strong our churches would be. How strong our congregations would be if people were committed beyond themselves, their comfort level. How strong ministry would be if we continued to invest in each other and believed in the mission. And though the mission may change in how we incorporate it or how we follow through with it, and that our preferences would change, but if we stuck with it and realize I'm part of this body until God calls me out, I am a foot of this body, and if I'm not being used right now, maybe it's time to rest the rest of the body. How strong the community would see Jesus. So sometimes our uniqueness may sometimes trick us into feeling disconnected. In truth, it's our uniqueness that connects us. What does it mean to be authentic church community? We're diverse, and unlike the broken world, we are called to celebrate and take joy in that diversity. In the broken world, diversity is feared. It's strange. We hire people that we're like because we want to get along with our coworkers, not people that are different that would make us stronger. If I'm really good creatively and my work is suffering because I can't focus on the details, my tendency is I want to hire more creative people, but I need to hire somebody with details to help me because I'm not getting a lot done. In church, it's the same thing. You see a new family come in, you're like, oh, you're like us. Great, you love kids too. You'll help us, everybody. We're going to be happy and one-sided because there's not enough diversity and enough uniqueness. Although we're different as individuals, we're connected by the same Spirit, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted to be. If you feel called to this church, if you know that you are called to this church, then you are part of this body. The representation of Christ in this community is this body of believers. And how are we representing Christ to those that do not yet call this their church home? Do we represent Christ as a feeble-bodied person whose hands don't work together, whose feet don't like the head? Is the community looking at us and saying, if you're the representation of Jesus, man, you're kind of dysfunctional there? And if you're dysfunctional, then religion or Christ must be dysfunctional, and therefore I don't really want to be part of that body, because who really wants to be part of dysfunction? And so messy church, when we start diversifying and realizing who we are as unique people, and we start celebrating differences and different opinions and different preferences, then all of a sudden we start working together, but that can be really tough. Because I got to put up with louder music for a little bit, or I got to put up with quieter music, or I got to put up with this, or put up with that. And it feels uncomfortable. But let me tell you, when the church becomes healthy, everyone is healthy. We all play a vital part in the diversity of this body's ability to reach farther, grow deeper, and share broader the love of Jesus. And how are we and how can we be connected? Every church is in miniature what the whole aggregate of churches is collectively. The body of Christ and its individual components are members, everyone, as they are directed by God. We're miniatures of the larger church. And this community sees the larger church through us. This community sees Jesus through us. This community understands the Bible through us. This community understands worship through us. This community sees us. And our uniqueness may attract certain people here and there. But it's in that uniqueness that we exist and why we exist. If there was no need for unique church, we would have one church, and everybody, every Christian in Seattle would go to one building. But I'm different, you're different, they are different, and we are all different, and they're different bodies operating healthily together to reach different people. This congregation can be the most viable and relevant example of Christ in this community. And I wonder, what are the people around us thinking? In verse 25, it says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Equal concern. I'm equally concerned about what I love as I am with what I don't really like so much. I'm equally concerned with what I thrive in as what may be work for me. I'm equally concerned in what I enjoy about the church as much as what I may not enjoy so much, as what I prefer is what I don't. Do we present this thought to the community? Is this a place where the community would find safe? In verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. What's special about being unique? Well, what's special about being unique is that you know that God's designed you, that your experiences, good or bad, through life, cause you to have certain outlooks on life and how church should be. A lot of our preferences that we trick ourselves into thinking as being really pivotal to how church should be is really just that, preferences of how we grew up or what we enjoyed as a child or what our parents showed as valuable or the nostalgia of a different pastor or a different season or a different era. And those preferences are just preferences. It doesn't matter if they're part of the church today. What matters is are we a healthy body of Christ, a representation to this community? Because we are individually unique. The body, this body, can provide the community with an infinite amount of ways to experience Jesus. Because you are different in and of yourselves, because you are different from you, from you, from you, from you, the community can experience Christ in a way that they can understand in an infinite amount of ways. But that's messy because now we have to work together. We have to accept each other's ideas. And my last slide here, I want you to think about these things. Think unique, not different. When you're talking about some other part of ministry or another person in the church, I want you to think unique, not different. Think diverse, not contrary. Their idea is different than mine, is not contrary. Their hopes, their preferences are different than mine, they're not contrary. Think designed, not misfit. If someone is called to this church, they are not a misfit. They are designed to cause disruption. They are sent by God as a holy disruptor of the norm to cause us to think differently because something may come later. Now, if you're just a troublemaker, this doesn't apply, okay? Think Christ-like, not branded, not what we have been in the past, what our brand is. Think, are we Christ-like for the community today? Think as a whole, not as an individual. Think of what is best for the church as a whole, not what is best for me. What is best for me might not be best for the whole. And think as Christ, not as self. What would Jesus want? And you know, this passage of Scripture sometimes can just kind of, we just glaze over and move through it really quick because we know this, the foot, the head, the eye, the ear. We're not all that. But I want to ask you something, and then we're going to pray. If you feel like misplaced in this congregation, I want you to think that you're designed to be here, not misfit. If you're wondering whether or not you should be a part of this congregation, I wanted to ask yourself, is it because of the stirring of the Holy Spirit, or is it because you feel disconnected? You can't be the foot that says, I don't want to be part of the body any longer. Because each time we start thinking about self rather than the whole, then the church as a whole begins to suffer because we're disconnected from one from another. And I want to ask you this. Is there a part of this body that's suffering that you can help, whether you want to or not? Because as one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And if you know, and if God is speaking to you, and he's saying you should do this, and you should do that, and you're saying, I don't want to, then I want to ask you, are you going to perpetuate that suffering? Or are you going to use your gifts and your talents to further the kingdom of God? And yeah, as a church grows, it can be really messy. And as we mingle with each other, if you that sit over here all the time begin to sit over here all the time, and then the people sitting over here all the time are kind of getting upset because now it's disrupting and you got to mingle and meet new friends, that's healthy. you pray with me? Lord Jesus, it is true that if you did nothing else for us again, all that you have done is more than enough. The fact that we have the promise of salvation, that we don't need to linger here on earth forever, that we would be in heaven with you, it's just amazing. But there are so many people out there that do not yet have that. I pray that we would be unified as a body, a representation of you in this community. That we would look past somebody's differences or our differences. We would look as a whole. That we know that a foot is to be different than a hand, and that's the way you designed. That we may not prefer everything that goes on in this church, but you've designed it in a way that would reach the community. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would search our hearts. That if you designed us to be the eye, that we will be the eye, content with how you've created us, that we would not yearn to be the ear. I pray, Jesus, that you would help us to be an accurate and wonderful representation of you in this community. That people would be drawn here to find you, sometimes for the very first time. They may enter into a life, everlasting life, so full and so beautiful in your name. I thank you for this church. I thank you for how wonderful the people are, how fun it is to be a part of it. And I pray that everybody around would know it to be a healthy church. Would you bless us this week as we bless others? Would you guide us as we try to guide others? I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done and for who you are. In your name, amen.
Let's all stand together.